Okay, everyone, now, question 16. Choose the best answer, the opportunity cost of a cup of coffee. The correct answer is the value of what you would have bought instead of the coffee, plus the value of the time spent purchasing the coffee, plus the value of the pleasant experience you would have had while purchasing whatever you would have bought instead of the coffee. A candy bar sold by your favorite movie star was the exact experience. Okay? That's the correct answer. Now, you'll see that I've given you other choices for the answer, and the choices range from the most simplistic view of cost up to the most realistic view of cost, except for one of the choices which simply has a mistake. Now remember, the basic definition of cost, opportunity cost, is the value of the alternative which you would have done if you had not done the thing. That's the opportunity cost of the thing. It's the value of the alternative. So the trick is that what you have to figure out is what you would have done instead, and not just what you would have done instead, but also the value of what you would have done instead. Now, the simplest answer here, and obviously wrong, is the market price of the cup of coffee. The opportunity cost of a cup of coffee is simply the market price of the coffee. Well, that's wrong, because if you purchase a cup of coffee, you give up more than just the price. You give up the value of the dollars that you spent, if they were spent on something else, but also you give up the time. And that gives us, so that answer is not correct. Now the next most complicated would be the market price of the cup of coffee plus the time spent buying the coffee. Well, that's pretty good, but that refers to the price and the time instead of the value of the money spent and the value of the time. You see? The opportunity cost is not just the time you lose, but how much is that time worth? So that answer is wrong. And then the next most complicated answer is the value of what you would have bought instead of the coffee, so far so good, eh? Plus the value of the time spent purchasing the coffee. Now, it might be tempting to stop there and choose that as the best answer. But if you did, you would be failing to learn the lesson which is presented in this question. This is a question in which I'm giving you the opportunity to learn something in the question itself. And we did discuss the idea that, you know, the value of the experience you have when you buy something can make a difference. I mean, from time to time we've talked about, I mean, I can, as for example, you know, you might, two gas stations might be identical, but one of them has a more pleasant experience. It's better lighted or something like that, or has more pleasant staff. So you prefer that one, you see? And if you do not purchase the good there, the value of that pleasant experience is part of what you give up. And that's real. That's important. That is relevant in real-world decisions. And so we can't stop if a better answer is offered. We can't stop with the answer that I just read to you. And so then we come to the two long answers. And of those long answers, one of them is wrong, and it is the one that says the value of what you would have bought instead of the coffee, so far so good, plus the value of the time spent purchasing the coffee, okay, that's right, plus the value of the pleasant experience you had while purchasing the coffee. No. You see, that's wrong, because if you purchase the coffee, that's not what you give up. What you give up, if you purchase the coffee, is the value of the experience you would have had when you bought some other thing. You see? So that is a tricky no. But that answer is wrong. It's looking at the value of the wrong experience. Okay? So now you know which is the correct answer for 16. And 16 was a very hard question for the A students. Okay. Now, question 17. Suppose that college tuition is higher this year than last year, and that more students are enrolled in college this year than last year. Based on this information, what can we conclude? Okay, this is a very interesting question because this is an opportunity. This is the kind of question you can get it right provided that you do not think. It's important to simply realize that this is a question where you can use the economic model, the supply and demand model, and then simply apply the model. So, here's what we do. We say, well, college tuition, higher than last year. More students are enrolled in college. Aha. So, the price of the good is college. And the price is tuition. And the number of students who are enrolled in college is the supply or the demand, okay? So, if you view it that way, what we need to do is draw a supply curve, demand curve diagram. The point where the two curves cross is the level of college tuition this year and the level of enrollment this year. And now the story in the question is that college tuition is higher. So we draw the diagrams for last year. And now college tuition is higher this year than last year and more students are enrolled. So the dot is moving upward and to the right. Now, the dot moving upward and to the right was something that we studied. Which direction does the dot move? What does that mean? And what we learned is if the dot is going to move upward and to the right, the demand curve definitely must have increased, shifted to the right. Demand must have increased. But we can't be sure about supply. Maybe it didn't increase or change much. And so what we need is to see if there's an answer which gives us that possible answer. And one possible answer is the law of demand is invalid. Well, there's absolutely nothing about a change in the price of a good, of a good's price going up. And also the quantity demanded, which would invalidate the law of demand. We know that that can happen. It only requires that something else change that might cause the price to change. So that's wrong. That's not a good answer. This situation has nothing to do with the law of demand? Well, no, that's not correct. The law of demand is highly relevant to the question of what happens to college tuition. It's just that other things are more relevant. What about the possibility the demand for college education is positively sloped? Well, that's just not... it would be like saying that if the price of computers goes up and people buy more of them, then that proves that if the price of computers goes up a lot, people will not buy less, and if the price of computers goes down, people will not buy more. The law of demand says that there's going to be a negative relationship, a tendency for a negative relationship, but the law of demand doesn't say that that negative relationship is going to be the most important thing in all circumstances. So that answer is wrong. The correct answer is, despite the increase in price, quantity demanded rose due to some other factor changing. Yes, absolutely. The demand curve shifted to the right because of something. What kind of thing? Well, what are the shifters for demand? Table 2 of the handout I gave you lists all the shifters. Maybe the price of a substitute went up or down, or the price of a complement. Maybe the income of the citizens went up or down, or the number of students changed. Something changed which caused the demand curve to shift to the right. Maybe it was a change in tastes. At any rate, that is the correct answer. So there you have question 17. Now, question 18. By the way, that 17 is obviously a question for the A students, a very hard question. Question 18, choose the best answer. Suppose in a market the quantity supplied goes up. What can you be pretty sure about? Well, if the quantity supplied goes up, that means that if you draw a supply curve, demand curve, you have the dot, the point where the two curves cross. And now the quantity supplied goes up, that means the dot moves to the right. It may move upward to the right, downward to the right, horizontally to the right. All we know is that it moves to the right. And what can we be pretty sure about? Well, we can be pretty sure, can we be sure that the market price has gone down? No, because the market price may go up. Can we be pretty sure that the supply has increased but not the demand? No, not at all. We can't be sure that supply has increased because the supply curve is upward sloping and maybe the dot moved more steeply, maybe supply decreased. And can we be sure the market price has gone up? No, that depends on which of the two curves shifted by more. I mean, the dot is moving to the right. But it could be that the supply curve shifts to the right more than the demand curve, and then the market price will go down. So we can't be sure of that. And what about, can we be sure that demand has increased but not supply? No, we can't be sure of that any more than we could be sure that supply has increased but not demand. The only possible answer is quantity demanded has gone up. Hard to believe that that's the answer. But if you'll remember when we discussed supply and demand, one of the points I made about a market is the market quantity is both the supply and the demand, realistically. I mean, it's the quantity supplied and the quantity demanded because there is a seller for every buyer, there's a buyer for every seller, right? And if the quantity supplied goes up, so that more people, more of the good is being poured into the market, then you know that the quantity being purchased is also must have gone up. You may not know any of the details, but that much you know, and that is in fact all you know, given the very few facts which I gave you. So this was a very hard question for the A students, and that was the correct answer. Okay? Now, question 19, consider the following statements about the demand for a particular consumer good, dingbats. Then select the best answer from A through E. Okay, statement 1, if the own price of the good goes up, demand will remain unchanged or decline. Think, wait a minute, if the own price of a good goes up, it's not demand which changes, it's quantity demanded which changes. Trick statement, right? That statement is false. If the words were quantity demanded, it would be true. Statement 2, if the price of a substitute for the good goes down, demand will increase. That is true. Take a look at your table 2 of demand shifters and think about what happens if the price of a substitute changes. Now, statement 3, if the average incomes of customers increase, demand definitely will increase. No. Most of the time, if incomes go up, for most goods, people tend to buy more of those goods. But there are some goods, if the average income of customers goes up, they buy less of it because they buy the things for rich people instead of for poor people. So it is not true that demand definitely will increase. So statement 3 is false. And then we come to statement 4. If the price of a complement of a good goes up, demand will decrease. And that also is true. And again, that's one of the shifters in table 2, and the sign is exactly right. So the correct answer is only statements 2 and 4 are correct. Now, I think that's a pretty hard question because of the quantity demanded demand thing. But It shouldn't have been, okay? It's actually a pretty easy question if you take it one step at a time. All right, now, question 20. Which of the following is an informal international institution? The answer is on page 80, and the correct answer is group of eight. By the way, learn that page 80. Learn which those institutions. And then question 21, a primary goal of the World Bank is to, and again, learn that answer also. The correct answer is foster growth in developing countries. Foster growth in developing countries. Again, the answer is on page 80. Those are questions that a C student should have been able to answer. Okay, question 22, which of the following would most likely generate a positive externality? The idea of externalities is an important one in economics and in microeconomics, so we will spend some time on it in lecture, but I wanted to give you a chance to learn it on your own. Page 40 is the reference, and an example would be education, positive externality. What happens is certain goods, when you buy them, purchase or use of that good benefits other people as well as yourself. But when you buy the good, you're the one that's paying for it. And these other people who are getting benefits don't have a way of participating in the purchase. And so what happens is society doesn't end up with as much of these goods as they should. With negative externalities, they end up with too much. A good is being produced. There's in the process of producing the good, there's a bunch of pollution. And the person who buys that steel or whatever is not paying the cost of the pollution created when his steel was produced. And therefore, too much steel is produced. Okay, so take a look at positive and negative externalities for the next exam. Question 23, decide which of the following would cause the supply of fax machines to increase immediately, and then select the best answer from A through E below. Again, we have four statements to evaluate. The first is, okay, so we're trying to, what would cause the supply of fax machines to increase? That is for the supply curve to shift to the right. We're looking for supply shifters. An increase in the demand for fax machines? No, that has nothing to do. So statement one is false. How about a decrease in the demand for fax machines? No, same reason. We're looking for things which shift the supply curve, not the demand curve. Number three, a decline in the price of printing mechanisms used inside fax machines. Absolutely. If the cost of printing mechanisms goes down, that makes it less expensive to produce and assemble fax machines. Makes it more profitable to be in the fax production business. So that certainly would increase supply. Statement four, a new expectation that the market price of fax machines will rise in 3 weeks in the future. Well, if the price is going to rise, that will affect in the future, the suppliers will react to it. They will react by supplying less in the present. But what we want is what would cause the suppliers to supply more in the present. So statement four is backwards and is therefore false. And the correct answer is only statement three is correct. Okay, question 24. This question is, I'd say, a B-plus student question. It's pretty hard. Okay, question 24. In a free market economy, resources are unlikely to be allocated to the provision of public goods due to the free rider problem. And then all of the following illustrate the free rider problem. By the way, page reference for the free rider problem, page 41. And the one that does not illustrate the free rider problem is Amanda, a taxpayer, prefers to check out books from her local library rather than purchasing them herself. She's okay. Now, what is the free rider problem? The free rider problem is that when you purchase something, I get to enjoy it. Okay? But I don't have to pay for it. So you purchase a beautiful house, or you build a park in your backyard, and I get to look at the park, and I get the pleasure of that. That would, and but I'm not paying, helping to pay for the park. Or a road is built, and once the road is built, then I can use the road, unless you block off the road to anyone except those people with badges, the people who paid for it. Yeah. So those are examples of the free rider problem. But you can get the examples on other examples and the definitions and discussion on page 41. And this, again, is an important problem in microeconomics. There are many goods which, when you purchase them, benefit people around you, and there are other goods, when you purchase them, they damage people around you. And so we have to deal with these kinds of problems. And people tend to, if not pay for the things that they can get, enjoy if someone else buys them. And so not enough of these goods get produced. These kinds of goods are called public goods. We will discuss public goods in considerable detail later on. Okay, and finally, question 25, market failures. And the correct answer is market failures are sometimes made worse by government failures. And the fact is that markets do not always work. And when they don't work, government tries to fix them, or and sometimes this is possible and sometimes it's impossible, and sometimes they try and they make things worse. And as I recall, market failures is discussed on page 42. That's the end of the exam, and I hope that this little discussion was helpful, and I will see you in class. Take care. Bye.